bring Matt Rothschild back to the microphone to introduce Mike Wiggins.
Thanks again. It's great to see everybody. It was great to see the spontaneous protest, too. We're known for our protests here. Nothing wrong with that. I love Tammy Baldwin, and I was gratified to hear her quote Fighting Bob's famous, really terrific 1917 anti-war speech, one of the greatest anti-war speeches ever delivered in the U.S. Senate. And the only conclusion I can draw from that our senator will vote her conscience and our will on this important issue. I've got just a little business note here. The Wisconsin Grassroots Network is having a raffle today at their table in the hallway. The drawing will be at 3:30. They're selling tickets for a glass-encased red 14 signature T-shirt with all the 14 senators who left the state when times were at their hardest. So that's their raffle. It's now a great privilege for me to introduce a very important activist and leader in our state, Mike Wiggins Jr. Mike Wiggins Jr. is the Bad River Tribal Chairman of the Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. He and the Bad River Tribe and a lot of Wisconsin citizens, environmentalists, activists are fighting against that out-of-state mining company that Scott Walker likes so much. The same out-of-state mining company that actually wrote the legislation word for word that is allowing them to operate up there, and they're writing another piece of legislation to ram through so that they can kick Wisconsin citizens off of our public lands up there. We need to stand in solidarity with everyone in Wisconsin who's fighting this mine. No one's fighting it harder than Mike Wiggins Jr.
Well, thank you, everybody. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here today. One of the things that I've said over and over is that Wisconsin has a progressive mentality. Wisconsin has a history that was built on thought and intellect and foresight and really thinking about things that matter. And it's kind of been a very, very difficult ride the last couple years, as many of you are well aware. So if I came here today and I said, please don't explode and bomb them, most of you would probably think I was obviously referring to Syria. And I'm going to come here today and start by saying, please don't explode and bomb them. And what I'm talking about are the headwaters of the Bad River watershed up in Ashland County. And I'll say this, when we had finished a particularly grueling testimony on a new Wisconsin mining law that is unjust and scientifically dishonest, we had just completed giving 3 minutes of essentially heartfelt discussion about why we need these headwaters intact for our people and everything else. And when we got done, an elder of mine came up to me, Marvin Defoe, and he said, something's going on here. He says, I looked into the eyes of those Republican legislators, and there's something missing, Mike. He said, something missing. And he pointed out a couple, and he said, those ones, he says, we can continue to talk to. And he mentioned a couple of others, and he said, those ones, he says, I don't think we'd have to worry about talking to them no more. There's nothing there. He goes, but for the ones that we have to talk to, he says, we need to talk to them about babies. He says, we need to talk to them about future generations and about children and about life and about water. He told me, he says, you know, he says, when babies arrive, he says, they're carried in that global water, and that water rushing at birth, before birth, announces their arrival into this world. He says, and any parent that has ever been there, and for all the moms that are around, he says, as soon as that baby takes that first breath out of that globe of water, that, he goes, it's just instant love. He says, and that right there is exactly what we need to talk to these Republican legislators about. He says, no matter what, he says, for all that other stuff that's out there, he says, focus on that. And I tried. And I'll tell you, it's been an interesting journey watching Republican legislators represent mining companies rather than people. Watching money buy essentially law that flies in the face of the natural world by naming something iron mining and pretending that sulfides don't exist, sulfides being those rocks that create sulfuric acid upon exposure to air and water, we fool ourselves, because it's law now, into believing that there's going to be no having to deal with sulfuric acid. And those kinds of things have been incredibly difficult to watch. Now it's gotten so bad that for some of the legislators that pushed this new mining law that is unjust and that is set to really destroy the true platform of future economic development up in the Northwoods, those pristine ecosystems up there, watching these legislators flee the legislature because they've done their corporate bidding. I've watched Honnadel and Souter, and Souter actually got some type of water safety compliance something or other, which is absolutely alarming when these guys push that mining law down the throats of their own citizens. And that was one of the most interesting and most heartening and most beautiful things about fighting a good fight and trying to talk about why those northern counties are poised for the future right now in real time, was watching people bring their babies and let them play on blankets while mom and dad testified to the Republican legislators and to those committees, watching people celebrate growing and gardening and sustainable development and local economies, and those types of discussions break out as they're begging for the protection and the conservation of ecosystems up there. And watching guys like Scott Griffiths, the mayor of Washburn, put together and work diligently on a sustainable development matrix for the local economies up there. Watching Bill Whalen, Ashland mayor, and Larry McDonald, the Bayfield mayor up there around the lake, join Scott Griffiths, myself, and Rose Gurnow from the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and reject mining as some type of manna from heaven. As GTEC readies to explode the headwaters of our watershed, and we think about sulfuric acid, and we think about sulfate pollution that destroys wild rice crops, and we think about asbestosis, because there's been asbestos discovered in those hills by the DNR, and I don't think many of you probably have heard that too much yet, right? That might go hand in hand with the fact that GTEC doesn't want Bad Rivers wetland delineators and scientists crawling around the Pinokies, gathering information about the hydrology and the waterways and the systems up there. It might be why Tom Tiffany and Senator Glenn Grothman, Senator Glenn trusts the mining company Grothman, that's what he told the local family up north, are working so hard to shut down what is essentially special tax status lands that are publicly accessible. That might be why they're working so hard to shut all of that down, because the more we look and the more we discover about these unbelievably pristine places, the more we understand the fragility and the beauty and the wonder of what they present for those local communities up there. Discovering that stuff is essentially a foundation for truly evaluating and vetting out a mining application. And I don't think the mining company really wants that. And to be honest with you, at this point in time, I'm not really sure the powers that run the DNR really want that vetting. And it's alarming to me. And so what I'm saying is essentially it's been very difficult to watch mining companies hold sway in this state. It's been very difficult to watch who I feel should be our partners cater and kowtow to mining companies and billionaires at the expense of the local voices that are truly crying for their life and their livelihoods. I'll say this. When you look at your constitution, and I talk with all kinds of non-tribal people that love their home up there in Ashland County and Iron County, Bayfield County, and around the lake, and they keep telling me, well, there's nothing we can do. It's up to you and the tribes now. And I keep thinking to myself, I wish you guys had a treaty with your government. You know? I really do. But here's the thing about those treaties. Here's the things about those treaties, and it's the very same thing for all of you with the Constitution. You don't see negotiations in the Constitution for clean air and clean water. What you see is essentially that notion of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You get into our treaties, and you don't see negotiations for air and water. You see the privileges that come with occupying and the granting of usufructory rights, hunting, fishing, and harvesting. And I guess what I'm saying is you don't see those negotiations for clean air and clean water because obviously they were so self-evident, so unbelievably simplistic and basic to leave as a platform that to discuss those types of things meant that we were getting away from the very foundation that everything else around us is built on. We get away from that whole notion that water is life. And to get away from clean air and clean water and to start negotiating and acquiescing ourselves into contamination, we start talking about more things more like sickness and death. We start talking about things that really don't matter in terms of the sustainability and the survival of a country, whether that be your country or whether that be my little country. And when you think about that, there's a couple of ways to look at that. We can take these right here, and we can call this 500 years or even 1,000 years, and we can put those on. And over the top of these, this set of lenses that says 500 years or 1,000 years, let's grab this other pair of glasses that says climate change or climate change adaptation, and let's put those on. And now I'm looking at 500 years, and I'm looking at climate change adaptation. Let's look at drought and water scarcity and bombing other countries and all those other things that don't seem to fit with the notions of the web of life. And let's put those on. You put those types of lenses on and you start looking at things through all those different prisms and colors and you see the rainbow break out. It ain't just light. All of a sudden there's a rainbow and you can start seeing things a little more clearly. And you start understanding that maybe 10 to 15 years of jobs for a mining company and more profit for a billionaire doesn't make that much sense when there's all these people in a local region clamoring around sustainable development, local economies. Maybe we could put some help their way instead of rolling over for a billionaire. And I think I'll sum my comments up by saying water is life, and that's what we're dealing with up north. It's a very gentle, a very beautiful resistance. It's just essentially saying leave our headwaters intact. GTAC, Mr. Chris Klein, Mr. Scott Walker, please take your armed militia and your machine guns and put them away. And put away the umpteen tons of ammonium nitrate explosives that you have slated for this place. And get down to the business of truly helping these communities. It ain't about catering to a billionaire. It's about truly putting some thought, some progressive intellect and thought and foresight into what these communities are going to need. And that's not a warlike cry. It's a gentle, beautiful request. So, raise your hand if you're from Madison. There's a lot of people. I love Madison. I was farming at the farmer's market this morning, and it was awesome. What a gift that is. I'll say this, and then I'll be done. Water is life, and that's what we're fighting for up north. And we have our own issues with basic sanitation issues and infrastructure. Good Lord, we're getting blown up by media trackers and other Koch-funded right-wing organizations for that stuff. And we're fixing it. That's no justification to do what they want to do in the form of that mine and all that destruction. But water is life. For all of you who raised your hand and said you're from Madison, guess what? As on a molecular level, as a physical manifestation of being human today, as we sit here and look at each other, we are DNA and atoms and all that stuff. We might even say we're the result of random stardust with a little bit of the hand of the Creator, right? And you're also sitting here looking back at me, manifestations that are over 70% water. And here's what I'll say about that. You may be random stardust, all of you. Maybe random stardust, the result of random stardust coming together in this thing called life. But you're hardly random water. As you sit here as physical manifestations of 70% plus water, you're not Pinocchio Mountain and Bad River groundwater aquifer water. You're water from Madison here. All of you, as physical entities, the H2O, the water that's coursing through, our ancestors tell us this. Water is life. It comprises us. It's in our brain. It causes the blood to pump through our heart. And it even goes so far as to say the brain produces that thought. That thought is actually a character and a carrier of that moisture that comprises me. And that's not random. You're Madison water. We are Pinocchio Mountain as our recharge station and the Bad River groundwater aquifers. We are Bad River groundwater aquifer water sentinels there. And so when we fight and resist this mind, it's not to be warlike and it's not to step on anyone's notion of job creation. It's merely to just try and survive. And it's merely looking at those babies that are here and those babies that are out there on the way and thinking about them as manifestations of water, just like you guys are. So I want to thank you so much. Thank you so much for letting me share some time with you. And it's an honor to be here. I get to be on a little panel. And I know Pinocchio Pete and Bob Kincaid from West Virginia, who has seen the atrocities of West Virginia mountaintop removal, are here. They want to share information. And I look forward to that. And hopefully we'll see you. So thank you very much.
Message. All of us should listen to him and get behind him.